In this gospel passage that we just heard, the 12 have their vision expanded and broadened by Jesus. Their vision of God's all-encompassing love. To understand this passage, we have to know what happened immediately prior, just in the first verses of Luke 9. In the first verses of Luke 9, Jesus sends the disciples out really to do the very work that Jesus himself does, to preach the kingdom and to cure the ill, to cure the sick. And the disciples are told, when they are sent out as missionaries by Jesus, not to take with them anything for the journey. They're not to take a walking stick. They're not to take a sack. No food. No money. They're not even to take a second change of clothes. And the disciples, in fact, go and they preach the nearness of God's kingdom. They cure the sick and then they come back to Jesus and tell him about what they've done. Jesus invites them to experience God's providential love, to put themselves at God's mercy. No sack, no stick, no food, no change of clothes, and to experience God's care for them as they're on their missionary journey. But strangely, in the gospel we just heard, which comes just a few verses later in Luke 9, the 12 are not able to make the connection between their own experience of God's providential love and God's love for this massive crowd that has come to follow Jesus. I mean, they had experienced in their dependence on the Lord, his love for them, his care. After all, they didn't come back to Jesus having lost 20 pounds, 30 pounds, you know, their thirst, you know, never slaked. Although they had been cared for by the Lord, they somehow don't trust the Lord to care for this massive crowd, to provide for this massive crowd. And so they tell Jesus, look, send this crowd away so that they'll find food. It doesn't occur to them somehow that the same love of God that they experienced as individuals, that love of God would also be poured forth, that it would also provide for this enormous crowd. So their understanding of this all-encompassing providential love of God is broadened, it's deepened by this miracle of Jesus. That God doesn't only care for the 12 as individuals, but in fact, God desires to feed everyone. God desires to feed, to satisfy all of us who hunger for forgiveness and salvation. The means that Jesus uses in order to manifest this all-encompassing love of God that desires to nourish everyone is one of the most famous of Jesus' miracles. And the early Christians in the first century, the time when the Gospels were written, they must have really been struck by this miracle as among the most important of Jesus. Because actually, other than Jesus' resurrection and one or two other miracles, this is the only miracle that is recorded in all four of the Gospels. So our Christian ancestors recognized the awesome importance of the multiplication of the loaves and fishes. And I think that what is so important about it is that it's really a kind of a metaphor, a symbol for the central Christian mystery, namely the death and resurrection of Jesus. It's through the death and resurrection of Jesus that God provides food, salvation for the whole world. Think about it. The apostles come to Jesus and they say, look, we just have a very little bit of food here. What good is this little bit of bread and fish for a crowd of thousands? We might say the very same thing about Jesus of Nazareth. All of the wounds that have been inflicted by human beings on other human beings, all of the ways that human beings throughout history have not been faithful and obedient to God, all of the history of our sin. How can one man cure, cleanse, forgive all of that? What good is the death of one man for so many? Just as bread and fish were broken on that pasture of Galilee to feed a crowd of thousands, so Jesus in his death is broken. He is a ransom in his death for the sins of everyone. Everyone who has ever lived or will ever live. Jesus is that bread broken. And from that death and resurrection of Jesus, from his paschal mystery, grace, life, nourishment flows to the whole world. Because this one man is the eternal Son of God, the offering that he makes to the Father is applied to every person who's ever lived. Salvation, spiritual nourishment unto eternal life, is now available. It's now on offer for everyone. Not just for the 12 who originally followed Jesus. Not just for us who find ourselves in this church here. But in fact, the massive crowd of humanity, striving, thirsting, hungering for salvation. When we come to this Eucharist, just like the vision of the apostles, our vision of God's all-encompassing love is deepened, is broadened at this altar. Just like that bread and fish were broken and fed a crowd of thousands. Just like Jesus offered his life on the cross for all the human race. So you and I, we bring forward just a very little bit of food, don't we? We might say, what good is so little for so many? But in fact, when this bread is broken, when this wine is poured out, it becomes for us the very source of our redemption, of our salvation. Jesus' death and resurrection that brings forgiveness and life for the whole world is made present for us on this altar. When we do what Jesus commanded his apostles to do on the night of the Last Supper, simple bread and wine, what good is that for so many? Becomes the very body and blood of Jesus Christ. Simple bread and wine become the very substance of the Lord. And this substance of Christ's body and blood is again broken and poured out for us. Not just for me, John Peck, not just for each and every one of you as individuals, but for this parish, for the whole church, for the whole world. As we come to this Eucharist, let us give thanks and praise. Let us worship Christ, who on this altar is broken and poured out for us. Christ, who on the cross and in his resurrection became our salvation. Christ, who is salvation for the whole world. And let's allow God in this Eucharist to expand and deepen our vision of his all-encompassing love for the human race, for all of our brothers and sisters. And let's ask the Lord to make us missionaries of that love, to reach out to others, to help them through our lives, through our example, through our words, to know of God's all-encompassing love. I believe in one God. With faith in God's presence among us, we give voice to our prayers.
Let us pray that the church become one body in Christ. May we be healed of all division and work towards God's